Monday, June 9th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, with part two of last week's message titled, Jesus Cleans Up Sanctimonious Worship.
The law of God always has a good intention for us. Man-made ideas wreck that. We can easily create our own laws and make the worship of God into something that it's not. Some people are such rule followers. They just think that externally keeping all the regulations and all the rules creates this external approach to God that he really loves. Jesus responds, "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Hypocrites!" The man from Mark says, "He didn't do that with me. He just spoke and I received my sight." The first man digs in his heels. That isn't right. That's not right. Jesus only heals with clay. If you haven't had that experience, I'm starting to doubt that you really see. Thus originated in the early church two denominations, the Muddites and the anti-Muddites. I don't know any faithful shepherd, any faithful pastor who has not had this concern throughout history because it's all over the Bible. The traditions of the fathers can easily become elevated over the law of God, of without which people think they're really not worshiping God properly. And so what you begin to see is a rigidity, a misery in them, an inflexibility, grumpiness, an uneasiness with freedom. It's like as they're in a straitjacket. Now notice what I didn't say. I did not say freedom from the law of God. Jesus was not giving freedom from the law of God, which is why everyone gets it wrong when they typically belt out, "That's legalistic." It was freedom from the tradition, their man-made tradition, even when some of it may have had good intentions. It had bad results. The law of God always has a good intention for us. Man-made ideas wreck that. And that goes on both sides of the aisle, liberal or conservative. We can easily create our own laws as conservatives or as liberals, and make the worship of God into something that it's not. Now, I think it goes without saying, this is kind of an important passage. We have to be really careful with this, don't we? Some people are such rule followers, and then you've got people who just aren't. Didn't COVID expose that? They just think that externally keeping all the regulations and all the rules creates this external approach to God that he really loves. And they live with that. Things well beyond the law of God, by which people begin to think, that's the only right way. That's the only way God will accept us. And what if we bypass, beloved? Our hearts. Jesus responds in verse 3. He answered them, "And why do you break?" This is not nice stuff. This is Jesus throwing it down. "Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Hypocrites," he says further down. Jesus didn't hesitate to strongly rebuke this because he sees what's behind it. You've done two things. You've made the Ten Commandments. You've made the Ten Commandments second place now to your imposed tradition. And you've created a system of your own justification before God in doing this. I see right through it. As if just doing this externally, keeping the tradition just right, pleases God. The disciples still were not getting this. The disciples were still really confused about this. They just couldn't seem to grasp what Jesus is after here. And it's at this point that Jesus goes after the Pharisees even more aggressively. Notice what he does. Basically, he says, you ought to talk. You transgress the commandments of God. Notice that. Why do your disciples break the tradition? You transgress the commandments of God. And Jesus now opens up their hypocrisy before all. For God commanded, notice this, verse 4, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. Hypocrites, you hypocrites. So he essentially just grabbed one of their glaring hypocrisies that nobody would have ever thought about, one that we would have never really thought about, and it was the fifth commandment. And he says, listen, you Pharisees have found out a way of getting out of helping your father and your mother in old age and in time of need. You found out a way. If mother or father was sick in old age or had a great need, there was a little phrase that they could say. They could claim Doran, meaning, or Korban, meaning gift, offering. So if somebody in the family, if their father or mother needed help, they would just say, listen, no, that money is consecrated to God. It's going in the offering. You think it went in the offering? That money is set apart to God. They would justify breaking the commandment of God by adding that little word there, Korban, so that they could disregard their parents in need. You've made, he says, the commandment of God of no effect because of your tradition. Now, how often do we do this? I was reading a book this past week, and the section was called, this is where I kind of got the title, Clean Up on Aisle Sanctimonious. He was addressing what people who have wealth and people who, what they have in wealth, when it becomes idolatry. He says, what people do in our society is so, and even in Christianity, so common. They accumulate enough money needed to sustain their own creaturely comforts, convenience, and peace, and then immediately view anyone over their determined line of what that is as violating their standard and therefore are in excess and idolatrous and whatever they might be. So they've determined the line for themselves. In other words, we find our own attainable lifestyle and determine that it's frugal. We've never had this problem. And then judge those who spend above the line we've determined as idolatrous or wasteful. We've determined the line that is in excess for them. But never could our frugality be an idol, right? Sanctimonious. Prideful. Self-imposed standards. And we've never asked, where's our heart in the frugality we've determined that is acceptable? Jesus gives two main charges here. Notice he exposes that people who live like this often think that their line standards of morality that they've imposed are what please God. He applies it strongly. He takes Isaiah 29:13. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart, notice that, their heart is far from me. You drew close to God with your own standard and then imposed it on everyone else and expected everyone else to hold it, and then you judged them for not holding to your standard. But how ironic, you're able to set aside the law of God. There is nothing that drove you in your religion to come to God for mercy yourself. You see? Created something. Created a system of righteousness. And you pridefully beat people with that. Do you think any of this cares? Any of this kind of religion cares about the broken and the lost? Huge problem. And guess what? Cleanup on aisle sanctimonious starts where? Right here, right here. It's me. In vain, they worship me, teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. So Jesus makes it a teaching moment. In verse 10, he calls the multitudes, hear and understand. Let me explain something to you. We've got to talk about this. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. But what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Jesus is having them think about one really important thing. Where does true defilement come? I think it's a play on Psalm 24. That's why I had to sing it. It's always wonderful to sing the Psalms and see the connection. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who may come into the presence of the holy God in worship? Who may come? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. They misunderstood the verse. That had nothing to do with removing dirt from the hands. It had everything to do with a righteousness that exceeds this stuff. A blameless life in worship that flows from that which has a renewed heart. Remember when David was caught, I'm not saying perfection, listen to what I'm saying. Remember when David was caught in sin? That's why I read Psalm 32. He did some really bad things. Remember what he said? He hid it. Then he confessed it. He said, surely I've sinned. But then he said something that gets so overlooked in that psalm. Surely, you desire truth in the inward parts. You desire truth there, not externally. We read after Jesus said this, his disciples come up to him. Do you know that the Pharisees were offended? I mean, it's kind of a chuckle. Are you kidding? That's the LOL. How many times do you think people get offended by things pastors say? Right? They did all the time to Jesus. It's almost the unpardonable sin today to say something that might offend somebody, right? You know they're offended by what you just said. You just told them, the leaders in Israel, the pastors in Israel, they're lawbreakers. They're furious at you. He said, leave them alone. They're going to get pulled up by the roots. They are plants the Father has not planted. What a statement. Didn't we just study the parable of the wheat and the tares? An enemy has done this? An enemy has done this? He's planted bad plants and seeds among the good. They claim to be of God. But I want you to notice what they're doing. All they're doing is about control and power, imposing the doctrines and commandments of men on the sheep. They're blind leaders of the blind. Let them go. They're both going to fall into the ditch. I can't imagine the weight of that, hearing that among the disciples that day. I mean, these are the shepherds in Israel, right? And Jesus is standing there, and he's saying, all the grand religious leaders are leading these people right into hell. But I tell you what, we're going to go save. Peter answers, explain this parable to us. We're not getting it. We're not getting this. Jesus says, are you still without understanding? This is a big point in the Gospel of Matthew. It's kind of the heart of what the Sermon on the Mount was addressing. Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But these things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? The heart. That's what's defiling people. Out of the heart proceeds, listen to this list, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands, that is not what's defiling anyone. Remember what the Lord said to Cain? Sin is at the door, crouching like a little lion, trying to get out. That was from the inside out. That was not from the outside in. You should master it, but you can't, can you? Sin is coming out of us left and right. It's coming out of the heart. That's why all this stuff happens. And here's the point, beloved. A ceremonial religion will never cleanse the human heart. If that's what's coming out, the question is, how can the heart be cleansed? And you see, this is what Jesus was willing to do for us. He came to die for us. He came to forgive us. And he came to wash us. The washing of regeneration, giving us new hearts. This is what baptism signifies. The washing away of all of our sins by the blood of Christ. Inwardly. Look at the rest of the chapter. Where does Jesus go after this? We're going to look at it next week. A Gentile dog comes up to him. Who gets cleansed? She does. And then he goes out to the multitudes again to make this clear. It's almost verbatim of the feeding we studied last time. He feeds 4,000, and almost verbatim the words, his compassion wells up for people because they're lost and they're alienated with God and they're broken. And they're great sinners. And they need saving. Question is, have we been given a new heart? Nicodemus was shocked. You need to be born from above, Nicodemus. You need to have that heart washed. You need to be regenerated. See, then we can talk about worship, can't we? When the heart is regenerated, when we're washed from all of our sins by the precious blood of Christ and coming to him and believing in him, guess what begins to come out of our hearts? That which is true. I'm not saying we're without sin. What I'm saying is that which is true, that which is a righteousness that exceeds this, that which is honest, that which confesses sins, that which is not playing the hypocrite, that which is not trying to live a dual life. We come and confess, I am a mess. I am a sinner. And I need grace. I need cleansing. I need the kind of true religion that actually goes and loves my parents in their need. See, you just studied the problem of whose heart? Pastor Gordon's and yours. This is the best religion you'll ever give God apart from his regenerating grace. You need Christ. You need forgiveness. You need to be justified. to be washed. You need to be cleansed. And what kind of people does that gospel, powerful gospel, create? A people of humility. A people who, with Christ's likeness, begin to look at all these other sinners with compassion. Look around. Look inside. What kind of worship does God accept? A bruised reed and a smoking flax. He'll never despise someone who comes to him like that. Needy. That leads to true worship when you see that that deliverance is one that saves us and gives us washed lives and hearts. May we worship him, beloved, with a true heart, in spirit and in truth. Didn't Jesus say that's what he's looking for? In spirit and in truth. You understand that? Yeah. No more hiding. No more of this phony game stuff. Confess your sins. Receive the washing you need. Worship the Lord out of a deep love for him, for this gift. He died. He rose to cleanse you from all of your sins. What a Savior he is. What a God he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a gift and for showing us a little mirror into our own lives and hearts of what's coming out and what we need. Thank you for your gospel that delivers us. And thank you for tearing this stuff down in our lives and in the church, because you love truth in the inward part. May what is presented on the outside be true of us on the end. As we confess our sins and receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ, may we trust that you love us and that you count all of your people who come to worship you as a pleasing sacrifice in your sight, as a people prepared by the Lord, who love the Lord and begin to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbors, their selves. Thank you for your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for our ongoing studies in the book of Matthew. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.